encouraged and challenged by some of the talks, and I'm really motivated by some of the things that you said, and wanting to go back and see transformation in your churches. So Vera, I hope you've been enjoying it too. What did you have for lunch?
Oh, what did I have for lunch? I had an egg sandwich.
And I had a Mexican chicken sandwich, which was very delicious indeed.
Okay, so thanks to those who provided the lunch. It was great.
Absolutely. Okay, so we have a slight change in the running order. It does mean that the plan is now that we're going to try and finish at 20 to 5. That's 10 minutes after the advertised finishing time. If you do need to go before that, do feel free. We shan't throw rotten tomatoes or anything like that. Next up, we have Jill Bahena. And Sophia's going to tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we heard from Jill earlier this morning. We're going to hear from her again. Just to remind everybody that she's Canon Jill Bahena, was appointed last year as a National Advisor for Deaf Ministries to the Church of England. I think, if you remember, she said she works a day a week. Currently, she's chaplain to within the deaf community in Diocese of Bristol, and she's a trustee of Go Signs, a really good charity, and also works voluntarily for Signs of God, which again is another Christian training organisation. And we've been involved with both organisations. So, Jill, we're really pleased to have you with us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yay, I get my bit now. It's good. Okay, I want to tell you about an experience I had a couple of weeks ago. I was interpreting at a small gathering that included a deaf person and a person with mobility difficulties. It was a quiet day, and it was held in the city, in the centre of a city. And the person who had prepared it and who was leading it put a huge amount of effort into it. And she started, though, by stating that we seldom explore the physicality of ourselves. We don't go outside and play anymore. We don't go and walk in the rain. We rarely walk through a city. We drive, we park, we go into the shops. And so she was challenging us to go and play outside, to go and walk around the city. As I interpreted, I found myself contemplating that sign language is a physical language. And every moment of every day that deaf people are using sign language, they're doing something physical. And I wondered, why she hadn't thought of that? I also wondered what the person who found it hard to get around made of the leader's suggestion that everybody should go out to the city and find out what it was like to walk around a city. When the group returned, one member mentioned that the experience had helped him to appreciate how hard it was for his wife, who has developed a condition that restricts her movement. And I found myself wondering, why hadn't he appreciated it before, when he's been part of that group for a year? And they had somebody in the group who found it difficult to get around. Odd, isn't it? I think the problem is that we're not used to making connections. We fail to think about the other unless it impinges on us personally. And that's, I think, a problem. I'm sure that's why people fail to make access provision, for example. Most of the time they just don't think. How many times has that been said to you when you've pointed out something? Oh, I'm sorry. Just didn't think. And I'm sure most of you react to that in a much more gracious way than I do. Most of the time they're not planning to be nasty. They do just, don't think. I'm guilty of it too. I see immediately if something isn't in place for deaf people. It's obvious. Why isn't it obvious to everybody? I don't understand that. But I don't always remember to consider people who have different needs. And the beauty of a day like today is that we have met together and we've seen other people's views and we've learned of other people's experiences and we've been able to lift our head beyond just our own experience I think that's really important. And it opens me up to other possibilities and alerts me to creative solutions to problems, challenges. A day like today will feed me, and has fed me. You can tell I was going to do this morning, can't you? To take another look at my own congregation. And I want to tell you about that congregation. It's very small. Usually we are no more than 20. Usually we're less than 20, about 15. Most are deaf BSL users, but only some are deaf. Some are hearing people who are learning sign language. Only about 4 people are car drivers, so everybody has to be got to church in some way or another. 5 have mental health issues. 1 has a brain injury from an accident. Several are elderly. 1 is deafblind with impaired mobility. It's very inclusive, and I love it. I was recently challenged by the National Church of England to think about identifying leaders in your congregation. I'm going to say, and I went, oh my word. And I felt quite despondent. Who in my odd collection of special needs people could be marked out as a leader in the Church of England? Then I shook myself. This is the congregation that's the problem. It's my understanding of leadership and our definitions of leadership. And I started to notice the way in which people exercise leadership and how they exercise servanthood to each other. I began to identify people in my congregation who are leaders. Yes, I have leaders. I just didn't notice them because I failed to make the connections. I am, by the way, immensely excited by the fact that the Church of England has 1 deaf person training for ordained ministry in Bristol. Yay! And they're not originally from Bristol. A 2nd one at a selection conference right now, while we're here. Susan, who's here, Susan Myatt, is training for Baptist ministry. Laurie Banks leads a church. Bob McFarlane leads a church. There are deaf, Jay leads a church. There are deaf people here in leadership. I think that's fabulous.
Amen.
Thank you. But our notion of leadership and ministry must go wider so we can truly recognise the gifts and wisdom that God has given to his people. The big thing I've learned from my congregation, and I think other speakers have said this, is to make time for them. Sermons in my church tend to be interactive. This is really unusual for me, like standing here going, I'm going to talk to you. Sermons tend to be interactive dialogues, but we have to make time for people to come to the front to contribute in sign language. So I ask a question, and there's a pause while Mrs. So-and-so gets up from her seat and comes out in order to sign her contribution. And then we all have to wait while she goes back to her seat so that we can carry on. If Rob, who has a brain injury, wants to speak, we have to wait, either until he has typed it into his iPad, very slowly, or until he's spoken and I have understood it, and that's what takes the time. It's not him. It's me going, no, I'm sorry, I'm rubbish, I'm sorry, Rob, can you do it again? Oh. And if I get impatient, I get impatient with me, not because of him. If we make our waiting intentional, the contributions will be worth waiting for. I wish some churches would learn the value of waiting. Contrast that with my experience sometimes of interpreting in a mainstream church. We'll sing hymn number 478, omitting verse 3. I sign hymn 478, and deaf person looks away to get the hymn book. Picks up the wrong way, I'm going, no, red book. And 478, what? 9? No, not 9. 4, 478. Well, by this time, we're halfway through the first verse. And I haven't even told them they're not going to sing verse 3. Why must we be in a rush? Where are the spaces to enable us to catch up, to clarify, to feel confident, to feel secure? We own the spaces to enable us to make and develop friendships and relationships. A church that's truly enabling for all will be one where relationships are priority, and so that people encounter each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Enabling church means encouraging people to think differently and not to make assumptions. I want the last word to come from a deaf person. She's not here because she's working. She sent me this on Sunday, and so I have a sense that it's really right for today. It's a letter she wrote to the church where she worships. It's a hearing church, a mainstream church. I don't want to read it all, but I want to recognise the truth that's in it. Dear Hearing Church, first of all, I want to say I love you. I love the family you are, which is where God has placed me at this time in my life. But just like my biological hearing family, relationship isn't easy. Just now I feel really, really lonely. And the more I am with you, the lonelier I feel. So I wanted to write to make sense of why things are so difficult. She goes on to praise the church for all they've done to make the services accessible to her, to include her in, and to recognise her leadership. She preaches regularly, she leads worship there regularly. She has a ministry among them. However, access, even access as good as she experiences, isn't enough. She's looking for relationships. She writes, given the good practice you demonstrate, why are things so hard? The services aren't the problem. I can usually follow very well. But church is more than services. Church is about relationship and fellowship, and that involves communication. One of my problems is I'm very good at pretending I understand. I'm extremely practiced at nodding and can at times have long conversations where I actually haven't any idea what you're saying to me. But pretending and authentic friendships are not particularly compatible. Social in church also often happens around food or in small groups. Food and lip reading are generally don't work. And small groups forget to speak one at a time and give time for lip reading. I end up spending my energy trying to not get upset. I don't know what the answer is. She then contrasts that with her deaf church experience, where she says she feels at home and communication switches back and forth and it's all very easy and lovely. But it's only once a month. And she feels called to be in this hearing church. That's where God has placed her. But she's got this tension all the time. Then she ends her letter like this. But this morning during communion, for a moment, something special happened. I was finding it hard to engage with the service, but as we went up to communion, now to the rail, it was like, for a moment, the veil of heaven was opened, and I saw us all, each of us in some way messed up, each of us in some way broken, each of us in some way struggling, some with bereavement, some with illness, some with family issues, some with addictions, some with unemployment, some with work-related stresses, some sad, some manically busy, some lonely. Not one of us was sorted. Yet we each came and knelt in the same place, before our Jesus, our hope, our Redeemer, and received his broken body and blood outpoured. I don't know what the answer is. I know who the answer is.